Hi, everyone. My name is Michelle from The Table in Uniontown. Thanks for tuning into our podcast this week. We're happy you're here. This is the live recording from this Sunday's sermon. We hope that as you listen, you'll more deeply understand the truth of God's word and how much he loves you. Let's jump in.
So I'm the reader this morning. And before I do the reading, I'm just going to kind of level up our sort of reading experience this morning. So I think it was in January that we had people we started standing for the reading of God's word. And you guys have almost got it every single week. There's next to no person trying to sit down anymore. So that's awesome. So now we're going to add one more thing to this experience. And at the end, the reader always says, "This is the word of the Lord." And if you've ever been to like a "this is the word of the Lord" type church, you know that you actually respond with, "Thanks be to God." There it is. So this week, since I was up here, I thought I'd take the chance to kind of add that to our experience this morning at the end. And then for the folks who, you know, aren't here this morning, they'll just catch on. They'll see their friends do it. Peer pressure's awesome. And they'll start to pick up on it. So we won't have to have this preface to the reading every week. We'll just know it's coming. So the reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 11. The reading. "I said to myself, 'Go ahead, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy what is good.' But it turned out to be futile. I said about laughter, 'It is madness,' and about pleasure, 'What does this accomplish?' I explored with my mind the pool of wine on my body, my mind still guiding me with wisdom and how to grasp folly until I could see what is good for people to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I increased my achievements. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself and planted every kind of fruit tree in them. I constructed reservoirs for myself from which to irrigate a grove of flourishing trees. I acquired male and female servants and had slaves who were born in my house. I also owned livestock, large herds and flocks, more than all who were born before me in Jerusalem. I also amassed silver and gold for myself, and the treasure of kings and provinces. I gathered male and female singers for myself, and many concubines, the delights of men. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. All that my eyes desired, I did not deny them. I did not refuse myself any pleasure, for I took pleasure in all my struggles. This was my reward for all my struggles. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We all just want to be happy, don't we? We all just want to be happy, and so many of us, we're chasing it like crazy. Our hearts are looking for it all over the place. We don't want to feel hollow. Maybe Ecclesiastes, if you were here last week after one weekend, maybe Ecclesiastes has you feeling a little hollow. Qohelet, who is our guide in this book, the one referred to as the teacher or the preacher, he's building some tension here. He's building some tension, as any good writer or speaker does. And he's letting us sit in it, which is also what any good writer or speaker does. He's letting us sit in the tension. Like we said last week, perhaps like that Louis C.K. interview clip, we aren't shaking our head in disagreement with our teacher, Qohelet. Maybe instead we're in total agreement. Things do feel hollow. We all will die. It does all feel meaningless under the sun. If you agree with him, Qohelet is now gonna take you on a journey of checking your assumptions. And if you disagree with him, you might see he's attempting to prove his thesis to you that everything is in fact hevel or meaningless or futile or vanity or a vapor under the sun. He's not asking you to take his word for it. And while he's something we said akin to a philosophy professor, he isn't just dealing in ideas. He's not in the theoretical ivy towers of academia. He's actually going out and testing life to see what it can provide, isn't he? That's what this, that's what he says he's going to do in this reading this morning. I said to myself, go ahead, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy what is good. What a martyr, right? This poor guy, he's about to enjoy everything the world has to offer so you don't have to. I ought to send him a thank you card, right? He didn't want you to be disappointed. He's going to go out and be disappointed for you. And he buries the lead in verse 1 here because he says, I said to myself, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy what is good. And rather than take us through the experiment and get to the end and then give us the results, he starts with, it was futile. It was futile. Pleasure was futile. Everything good, enjoying the good, that was futile. That was all hevel too. That was all a vapor. The good, he says, it's good, but it's gone so fast. We went on vacation a few weeks back, the Nigro family vacation. It's a 9-day event, including nights in 4 different states featuring swimming, ice cream, movies, lots of quality time. It was great. I cannot wait until next year. It was so good. Notice, even under the sun, Kohelet, he doesn't say these things are bad. He says they're good. Good things are good even just under the sun. Good things aren't bad. They're good things. They're good. They're a common grace for the Christian living in light of eternity and the hedonist or the humanist or the existentialist living under the sun. Having kids and experiencing the love of your spouse, being part of a family, building a business that promotes God's work and bringing order to the world, that's meaningful work for you, that provides jobs for people. That's all good. That's not bad. It's good. And even in it being good, apart from eternity, it's still hevel. You see, it's still a vapor. It's still here today and gone tomorrow. Family vacation was awesome. It was very good, but it was here and it was gone. It was a vapor. And Ecclesiastes and Kohelet, they're not trying to tell you that the good things aren't good this morning. Rather, he's trying to tell you that on their own, the good things, though good, even very good, they're not enough. He's trying to tell you they're not enough. I said about laughter, it is madness. Laughter is short-lived. Here's an experiment. Watch someone laugh sometime. Just watch someone laugh sometime. It sounds creepy, I know, but just do it. I used to do this for some reason as a kid. I would watch my grandfather smile or laugh, and I would just focus on his face. I know it was just him for some reason. I would focus on his face, and I would watch him go from laughter to a smile, and I would watch the corners of his mouth slowly return back to their normal position. Has anyone ever done this? Is anyone else weird here? Okay, yeah, a few weirdos here. I love it, thank you. It's a weird thing to watch, but you can watch the effect of something funny or something happy, something that brings joy to someone. You can watch it dissipate in real time. If I say something funny this morning, and the odds are not terribly good that I will, but if I do, watch the person next to you laugh and watch the smile fade. The corners of their mouth turned upwards, slowly sinking back to the normal place. It's a flash. It's here and it's gone. Laughter is great. We don't hate laughter, but if your life is about being lighthearted, it's hevel. The laughter itself is momentary. It's good, but it's not enough. He gave himself to enjoying wine next. But he kept wisdom in mind. This can mean multiple things. I'm not sure if it means he enjoyed wine but avoided intoxication, if he enjoyed wine but kept his eye on the purpose of his experiment. But either way, he enjoyed wine. And if you don't struggle with alcoholism this morning, if you don't over-imbibe, then wine is a totally good gift. Jesus didn't turn water into Welch's. That's just a fact. But it doesn't seem to be the answer either. A good trip to Napa Valley is a good trip, but it is not enough. It's still hevel. He says, I increased my achievements. How many of us think, if I just achieve more, then I'll finally be full? So Qoheleth, this man of means and power, he built houses, he planted vineyards, he made gardens and parks and put in them every kind of fruit tree. He constructed reservoirs for the sake of irrigation. This dude, he has an elaborate, beautiful setup. His property, this world he's constructed, it's incredible. You'd love to walk through it. Picturesque, relaxing. So much anymore, I'll sit sometimes and think, when was the last time I relaxed? And sometimes I'm like, I have no idea. We had a great vacation. I wouldn't say I relaxed a ton, though, you know. Relaxation, it's hard to come by in my stage of life. But I bet Qoheleth, I bet he did a ton of relaxing. If you asked me to identify an idol in my heart on the spot, maybe I would point to relaxation. If I had just 8 hours to relax one day, if I had 2 hours to relax one day, if my mind would allow me to relax one day, I would be happy. And I'm sure Qoheleth, his situation allowed him a ton of that. He's got this property and it's beautiful and it's well kept, and he surely does none of the maintenance on it, so it's all just relaxation. I like to look at something on the internet that's a little strange. I'm fascinated by it, in fact. Maybe you have weird things that you find to be therapeutic on the internet, too. Yeah, I'm not going to ask you what they are, but I'd love to know what those things are still, I think. But my wife, she has this thing where she likes looking at people power washing rugs. Is this on anybody's algorithm? Like, why on earth are you looking at this? But she'll be like, have you seen this? And she'll show me this video. And it's just somebody power washing a rug that should have been thrown out. And then at the end, it looks brand new. I don't really get it. It's very odd to me. Anyone else, so that my wife feels seen? Anyone else watching those weird videos? Okay. All right. Well, I don't get it. It's not for me. They do not find themselves into my algorithm. But the thing that I like to look at, though, is abandoned, dilapidated old buildings. Anyone see that in their timeline? A few of us. Yes. Yeah, so here's a few. There were like 6 or 7 people. Yeah, I was going to say, anyone know this? It's Rolling Acres Mall. Yeah, there's something about this that just speaks to me. I don't know. I'm just into this. Okay, the next one. Yeah, the power washing stinks. You don't know this one is in Elkhart, Indiana, but does anyone know this architecture? Taco Bell, classic architecture. Beautiful. All right. And then one more. I mean, obviously, right? Yeah. Near and dear to my heart, Kmart. This happens fast. It happens fast. Sarah and I, our first date was at a TGI Fridays in Bone Village in 2016. It's gone. While we were dating, we went to John's Bar for dinner about once a week. Moved. It'll never be the same. No offense if you like the new one. It'll never be the same. Yes, thank you. You know there's strong feelings when we're willing to talk about it publicly. That's great. I love that. It's never going to be the same. Our first movie together as a couple was at Regal on Arlington Road. Gone. If it means something to Sarah and I, it's the kiss of death. Sorry, table. It's completely torn down. We went shopping for our niece for a quick birthday present at the Kmart on North Main back when we were engaged, or we'd close to getting engaged, I think. It was torn down. There's a Meijer there now, and Meijer is great, but it will never live up to the nostalgia that Kmart created for me. We absolutely loved walking around the Big Lots in Hartville because it was the only non-grocery, non-hardware store in town, I feel like. And we were devastated, yeah, when it went out of business. Where will we buy Christmas decorations now, you know? But I don't just look at businesses that are abandoned. I like looking at these too. Okay, so this obviously, you know, some of you were wearing Band-Aids on your cheek in the mid-2000s. This belonged to Nelly. This was his mansion in St. Louis. It's currently vacant. Or this next one. I don't know whose this is, but yeah. Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's stunning. It's It's obviously not fit to live in, and yet it's still just stunning. I forget where this is, New York State maybe somewhere in the middle of the woods. It does kind of, right? Yeah. I would have more of these, by the way, but it's hard to find ones on the internet that don't have like the F word emblazoned across them in spray paint. So I just found two that were acceptable. Maybe what I like about looking at these things, at these buildings, these businesses, these mansions that are dilapidated, is they confirm what Qohelet is trying to convince us of. It doesn't last. It's sand through your fingers. It's a vapor. The church that Sarah and I were a part of when we first married, where I worked when I met some of you all, was in a school. School is gone. The TGI Fridays, John's Bar, the movie theater, the Big Lots, that school. It's all here today and gone tomorrow. The mansion that you build yourself, the well-manicured lawn, the incredible patio made for relaxation, the beautiful fire pit. It's here today. And in 500 years, maybe someone digging to bury a family pet or putting a fence post in, they'll like find a bolt in the ground from your house. And they'll toss it to the side. And they won't think twice about it or you or your family or the Christmases that you spent there. When your home is leveled to become an Amazon facility and then Amazon goes the way of Kmart and ceases to exist, no one is going to question what you felt like in 2025. This is the nature of life. I acquired male and female servants and had slaves who were born in my house too. He had people to do everything for him essentially. Going back to relaxing, every meal cooked for you, every minor cleaning task done for you, there was nothing that this guy was responsible for. He had slaves born in his home, so he acquired slaves, and then those slaves would get together and produce more slaves for his purposes, more people to do the work. You can see how this experiment lasted quite some time. He didn't go do this in a week. This was his life for some time. He acquired livestock, herds, and flocks more than anyone who had come before him. He's got stuff, and his stuff produces stuff, right? He's generating passive income. Dave Ramsey would probably give the good king a pass here. Financially, life is good. Perhaps we can look at him and say, he doesn't have a worry in the world. He doesn't have a worry in the world. And that's what relaxation is, isn't it? It's a calm mind, not thinking of where the next meal, where the next tank of gas, where the next mortgage payment is going to come from. Sounds like freedom in a lot of ways, doesn't it? Maybe you think, I don't need to be rich. I just need to be a little better off than I am. I just need to not be paycheck to paycheck. Then I would be happy. Then I would be full. The question is, would you really? Would you really? Qohelet isn't saying it's bad to have stuff. It's not bad to be secure. He's just saying, I'm not so sure you'd be happy by having things. I'm not so sure you'd be happy. I'm not so sure you'd be full if you were just secure. If you just didn't have to worry about money, I'm not sure that would fill you up. By not just being what we call house poor, I'm not sure that would fill you up. Doesn't seem like that's going to do it for him, at least. He's amassed silver and gold for himself, the treasure of kings and provinces, and he says, still didn't do it for me. Those things might last long past your funeral, but they tarnish. My wedding ring is silver. Doesn't look like the day I got it. Still means the same thing to me, but it doesn't look the same. I remember my catechism teacher growing up. He said something that's always stuck with me in regard to possessions. He said, and this is so simple, it's not like a profound theological truth, but it's what I've remembered. He said, you get a new car, but one day it's just the car. You get a new car, but one day it's just the car, right? Do you get what he's saying? Whatever you get that's new and valuable, and it feels like it sparks some level of joy and excitement in your heart, one day it just won't anymore. The new car is eventually just the car. The engagement ring is still beautiful, but it's not to your heart what it once was. You're not constantly staring at it. You don't clean it as often as you did when it was your new ring. Now it's just your ring. The new house is eventually just a house. We go to the mall, and we walk out with bags of things that we think are going to make us feel like we're something, or we're going to make other people feel like we're something. And yet the new clothes, they just become the clothes. Then eventually, after a while, they're the old clothes, and you're mowing the lawn in them, and you're painting the fence in them, and you got to go get new ones to replace them. A rapper once said, "We buy things we don't need to impress people we don't know. We go broke trying to look rich." It's foolishness. It's not substance, it's appearance. I don't want to be someone who looks impressive. I want to be someone who has sat at the feet of Jesus and who has become a person of substance and is being conformed into the image of Christ. If anything is impressive about me, God, might it be your work in my life so I can point to you and not to anything else. Maybe one of the most honest songs ever written is the song "All Falls Down" by Kanye West. Released back in 2004, it's a song that blatantly admits that it's all fake, that it's all a facade, that all the spending, the shoes, the clothes, the cars, the watches, it's just a cover-up for inner emptiness. That's all it is. I think maybe that guy forgot. The mall, it's not evil. Having clothes, it's not evil. But we go to these empty wells again and again looking for meaning, and there is none to be found there. It's insanity. It's madness. At least laughter is, Colette says. And if we're not trying to shop ourselves into a good headspace, then what are we trying to do? We're trying to entertain ourselves into a good headspace. We're trying to entertain ourselves into happiness, aren't we? I gathered male and female singers for myself, the author said. If he had YouTube or TikTok, maybe he would have talked about that instead. But since he didn't, he had to go out and get live entertainment. And he brought the concert to the mansion. He went out and got the talent and brought it home so that he could enjoy live music in his house. You imagine just like having that kind of money. And just having whoever you listen to just in your backyard at the bonfire. You just like have, I don't know who you listen to. You just have like Morgan Wallen at your house, right? He does his little walkout thing from your garage, you know, and it's viral. And then he just shows up in your backyard and he starts singing. Or if you're from a different generation, you like bring the Beatles back to life. There's one of them still alive, I think. Two of them are still alive. You bring the other two back to life, and they're just in your backyard, and you just have the means to keep them on retainer to perform just for you. I know it sounds pretty good to some of you. That's what this guy had, it sounds like, and it sounds lavish, and it sounds insane, and you hear that, and you think, that would be crazy. But here's what you need to know this morning. That sounds crazy, but we have more. When it comes to trying to entertain ourselves to feeling full and happy, we have more. We don't have to go to the Coliseum. We can watch every sporting event under the sun. You have Sunday ticket, you can watch every NFL game. I have MLB.TV. I can just watch baseball until my eyes fall out of my head, and I would like to. You're not into sports maybe this morning. You probably are into Netflix, okay? I did a quick search, and someone did the math at one point in 2023 at least, and with the amount of content that was on Netflix at the time of their calculations, it would have taken 36,667 hours of nonstop binging to run out of things to watch. 36,667 hours of nonstop binging to running out of things to watch. That's 4 years, 2 months, and 8 days. And that's just Netflix. And there's new stuff every month on Netflix. But I don't just have Netflix. I have Hulu. I have Disney Plus. I cannot imagine how many years worth of entertainment I have at my disposal on my phone. Not to mention YouTube, not to mention Kindle if books are more your speed. I never have to be alone with my thoughts again. and neither do you. Boredom is good for us, I would say confidently as a kid from the 90s. Boredom is good for us. But Colette had a hunch that if we could avoid it, we would. And so he tested the waters for us. Not only did he test the waters of entertainment, but he also had many concubines. There are intricacies here. It sounds like farm equipment, a concubine. It's not. There are intricacies here in the Hebrew, but most, I think, would lean towards these being women who were not free, who were above slaves but of less status than a wife whom the king had sexual relations with. Now, unless you're a person of serious status, you could not do this if you wanted to. Maybe you sit here this morning and you think you could, but you probably could not. But again, we've innovated in terrible ways. We've innovated in terrible ways. At the click of the browser, you have the horrible option to see whatever you want to see. And Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. And if we take Jesus at his word, you have infinite options for adultery and fornication in your heart within an arm's reach at every single moment of every single day. Things haven't changed so much, have they? We digitally have this opportunity, and more people are indulging than did in the day of Qohelet, I believe. And are we happier for it? Are we happier for it? People caught in addiction to pornography have relationship struggles. They deal with anxiety, depression, and shame. People who are doing what Qohelet did, who are actually sleeping with as many people as they can, have a whole slew of problems as well. Shame, potentially disease, unwanted pregnancy. We think that pleasure will give us meaning, and time again, it does not. Even if it's just one person who we want to spend our life with, and in doing so have sex with and experience that pleasure, even within the right confines of marriage, the wrong expectations of that person to bring meaning to your life will destroy you, and it will destroy them. That person cannot deliver meaning to our lives under the sun. Their life is a vapor. Your life is a vapor. Your time together is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit Gods, talks not explicitly about Ecclesiastes, but about our search for meaning in money and sex and power and how they fail to deliver every time. And he talks about this through the lens of the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel that we find smack dab in the middle of the book of Genesis. Anyone familiar with this story that's been in the Bible a little bit? Okay. Jacob flees from Esau to Haran to find a wife from his mother's family. Those were different times. So here, starting in Genesis 29, 16 through 25, here's what happens. It'll be on the screen behind me. Now Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he answered Laban, "I'll work for you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban replied, "Better that I give her to you than some other man. Stay with me." So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob, I paused for somebody to say, "Aw." Then Jacob said to Laban, "Since my time is complete, give me my wife so I can sleep with her." So Laban invited all the men of the place and sponsored a feast. That evening, Laban took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and he slept with her. And Laban gave his slave Zilpah to his daughter Leah as her slave. When morning came, there was Leah. So he said to Laban, "What have you done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked for you? Why have you deceived me?" 7 years he worked, and this is how it ended up. He built this day up in his head. I mean, the text says it seemed like only a few days because she was worth it. Everything he worked for, he spent all his days thinking about what it would be like to one day be married. Married to Rachel. And this is what he got. How disillusioned must he have felt that morning? Keller comments, "We learn that through all of life, there runs a ground note of cosmic disappointment. You are never going to lead a wise life until you understand that. Jacob said, 'If I can just get Rachel, everything will be okay.' And he goes to bed with the one he thinks is Rachel, and literally the Hebrew says, 'In the morning, behold, it was Leah.'" One commentator noted about this verse, "This is a miniature of our disillusionment. experienced from Eden onwards. What does this mean? With all due respect to this woman from whom we have much to learn, it means that no matter what we put our hopes in the morning, it is always Leah and never Rachel. If you get married as Jacob did, putting the weight of all your deepest hopes and longings on the person you are marrying, you are going to crush him or her with your expectations. It will distort your life and your spouse's life in 100 ways. No person, not even the best one, can give your soul all it needs. You are going to think you have gone to bed with Rachel, and you will get up, and it will always be Leah. This cosmic disappointment and disillusionment is there in all of life, but we especially feel it in the things upon which we set our hopes. Most set our hopes. I should use that when I do weddings, huh? But Kohelet sees it. It doesn't matter how many people you take to bed. It doesn't matter who you take to bed. It doesn't matter if it's the love of your life. It doesn't matter the fantasies fulfilled. Please hear me. Please hear Kohelet. None of it can deliver real, lasting meaning to your life. Love can't do it. Sex can't do it. They were never meant to deliver what your heart longs for on the deepest level. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also remained with me. All that my eyes desired, I did not deny them. I did not refuse myself pleasure, for I took pleasure in all my struggles. This was my reward for all my struggles. When I considered all that I had accomplished and what I had labored to achieve, I found everything to be futile and a pursuit of the wind. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. In a word, Kohelet became great. He had everything. Anything he wanted, he had it. Never did he have to pass up something he wanted. Never was anything too much. He just kept attaining and attaining and attaining. He became greater than anyone else, and he also didn't lose sight of wisdom. He took pleasure any and every time he could. And as he sat there on the top of the mountain, and he looked over all that he had built, all that he added to his empire, all that was his, all of the women he took to bed, all of the admiration of his peers, all of the envy of his peers, as he considered all of it, he found it all to be hevel. In the morning, it was always Leah and never Rachel. All of it was a vapor. It was all hurting wind. It all slipped through his fingers. None of it lasted. It's all going to perish. He wants you to know that. You can't gain anything under the sun. If this is all there is, if this is your understanding of reality, then it's all a vapor. If you want meaning, if you want substance, if you want something to hold on to apart from Jesus, apart from a creator, apart from eternity, it does not exist. And you do want that. Everyone does. In a 2024 Barna study, 65% of Gen Z identified being happy is a primary life goal. Happiness is the aim. Fulfillment is the goal. And Kohelet is telling us that accomplishment, sex, laughter, power, none of it is enough to provide lasting meaning or happiness. So much of the next generation, they're taking wrong avenues trying to get to their desired end. And Kohelet has gone before them and has tested the waters and can say, guys, you're going the wrong way. If only you would just listen. And today we have three young men and women from Gen Z who have seen life under the sun for what it is, who are getting baptized this morning in a radical statement that agrees with the teacher of Ecclesiastes in terms of satisfaction. Nothing under the sun can do it. It's all a vapor if you've made those things the end in themselves. It's all meaningless apart from God. That if you run towards God, everything else becomes meaningful in him. If you run towards the things under the sun, the life apart from God, that meaning will continue to slip through your fingers, that it will continue to evade you your entire life. Lasting satisfaction will constantly evade you. Jesus gives things substance. He gives life meaning. And under the sun, everything is a great mirage. Michelle, you can come up. This morning, Kohelet hammers home how the things we make the main thing cannot withstand the weight of that distinction. Sex is great. It cannot hold the weight of giving meaning to your life. Your spouse is great, I'm sure. He or she cannot withstand the weight that you put on them if you look to them for meaning. Neither can your job, neither can fame, neither can accomplishments, neither can possessions, neither can your kids. Gen Z isn't the only generation looking for happiness. They're just really honest about it. We all want meaning. Human beings are wired to look for meaning. We desperately want to be happy, and the question is how? How can we find joy? Happiness is even a little surfacey. Meaning is really the thing that Qohelet wrestles with. How can we figure out what matters supremely, and then how can our lives matter supremely? And the only answer to that question is Jesus. Our lives find meaning in Jesus. And how do we find meaning in Jesus? Well, we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and after he gave thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again giving thanks, he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." We take communion every week, remembering how our lives were at some point before encountering Jesus on a meaningless path. They looked something like exercises in trying to herd the wind, reaching for the vapor and coming up empty-handed again and again. And then, as Christians, we say we met the one who created us. We met the one who died for us. We met the one who came to rescue us. And our lives that were almost in black and white are now lived in full color. They have meaning, vibrancy. There's a purpose and a clarity in life that Jesus provides. Even if you're depressed or anxious or sad or hurting in this moment this morning as you sit here, Jesus brings clarity even in those moments, I found. Even in the low times, your life is substantive. Even in the low times, the life that Jesus has given you is eternal. Your life, it has a sureness to it in Christ. And so we take the bread and we dip it in the cup and we remember what Jesus has done to make this true of us. The death and resurrection of Christ so that we might live here and now and on into forever. Lives that are full, not empty. And that we might one day experience a resurrection of our own. So we take communion here every single week by taking the bread, dipping it in the cup, and remembering these things. If you need prayer this morning, my friends, the Marshes will be available on either side of the room to pray for you. I would just urge you to take a moment again. I hope you read Ecclesiastes this week. If you didn't, read it this next week. We're going to keep talking about it probably for 6 more weeks or so. And I hope that you just take a moment to sit here and just think, where do I look for meaning? Even this week, when have I taken my eyes off Jesus to give my life substance and looked to something else? And how has it failed me? And if it hasn't, if you don't think it's failed you yet, it will. Because it can't provide what only Jesus can provide. Then when you're ready, I just urge you to stand on your own, just whenever you're ready. At your own pace, at your own time, stand and take communion. Communion can be found towards the back on my left. Gluten-free communion towards the back on my right. Let's pray. Father, I'm just so grateful that you give us meaning, that you give life substance. And we are such slow learners sometimes. We look all over the place. I know in my life, I've looked all over the place for meaning. Foolishly. And then ended up somehow surprised when those things could not give me meaning. Give us wisdom to only look to you for substance and meaning. Help us every morning, maybe every hour, to reorient our hearts towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our Sunday service. If you're interested in joining us in the future, you can find us at 17766 Cleveland Avenue Northwest on Sunday mornings at 10. Additionally, we host a meal every first and third Sunday after service in order to fellowship with one another.
Visit aseatforyou.org for more information. We hope you'll join us next week. Go in peace.